Southern California Christian Students College Retreat, November 7 through 9, 2010. Big Bear, California. Conference title is The High Gospel. Afternoon Fellowship.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here for the afternoon session.
Amen.
Actually, in our book, our message one is session one, session two, three, and four. In the book, it says this is an afternoon fellowship. So I've been to many conferences, and I've always enjoyed this time. This is a very special time because it's a time just of a very good fellowship, okay? Yeah. The past few years, what we've been doing is having some students come up from different campuses, sharing their highlights of what they have been doing to rise up on their campuses, what they have been doing to be active, to go forth. And that has been very good and very encouraging. But we're just taking a little turn this time. And rather than having those ones share what they have been doing, we're going to hear from just a few of those who have been called out, as the song says, of every tribe, right? And tongue and people and nation.
Amen.
What we'd like to do today is to give you some encouraging testimonies, right? Of ones who have received this high gospel. And as you know, I don't know any one of us who receives all of the high gospel all at once and sees it clearly. So these ones, you know, they're not super special ones. They are just ones just like the rest of us.
Right.
Just ones who have seen a little bit.
Amen.
And who are being brought on to see more and more.
Amen.
Right? And this is really what I hope this time would be. I hope this time, firstly, would be a confirmation of what the brothers have already spoken, right? And this would really confirm there are ones like this, right, who are seeking for the purpose of their human life. There are ones that are seeking to be filled with something, right? And they need to know that they need to be filled with Christ. And there are ones that are seeking, as we will see tonight, the real communal life, the real family life, the real church life in the body of Christ. Okay, so these are just ones that have seen a little bit and are being brought on to see more. Okay, so I hope these testimonies would really encourage you to see that there are ones like this on your campus. Right? However, as we've seen already, you know, we may have a 100 level understanding or a 200 level understanding of the gospel. We want to be brought on to the 400 level. Right? This is the senior, this is the graduate, this is the higher level, right? We want to be brought on to see the high gospel. So I hope through their testimonies, you would be stirred up from within to really be encouraged to know this high gospel, to see it for yourself. And then as you see it, to bring others in to see it as well.
Amen.
Okay? So do open your heart during this time. Give them your full attention. Exercise your spirit. It'll just be a little bit of time. And then dinner will be here, right? To really be stirred up within, I want to see this, right?
Amen.
I want to see this, not for myself, but also for others, right?
Amen.
Eventually, this will be message four. We'll see that we need to be sent out, okay? So how about we have the first brother come up? I think is Brother Anthony. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Paul, you hold this.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The church life is a new and real family life.
Amen.
My experience truly will, I think, define that in a sense. My name is Anthony Tabbitt. I do attend Cal State Long Beach. I am a fourth year biochemistry major student. And I just wanted to tell you guys how I met Christ and what the high gospel is to, in my experience. So, okay, how's this going to start? Okay, so since I was a young boy, I remember that actually I was always caught in my mind in a sense. I had one sister and two, obviously my mother and father who would always work, and I would go straight home after school. And I was at home pretty much for 9 hours of the day by myself. I would do my homework, obviously do other things, but not like the typical normal kid in those days. You know, I would really just sit and think and kind of lie down in my bed, throw my baseball up in the air, and say, what is the meaning of my human life? Even at an at an age of 8 years old. And I didn't understand why I was so confused about this. I used to ask my sister, like, why do I think about these things so much? And she says, you think too much. You have to be like a normal kid and just go play outside. And I said, you're right, you're right. So I just kept thinking and thinking and thinking. And I just was seeking, what is the reason and what is the meaning of my human life? So I kept going on. I grew up in a home where we did believe in God, and we knew some things of Christ, very, I would say, at a 100 level basis of the gospel. And I kind of never really was interested in church. I kind of decided to stop really going, not in a definite way, but as I grew up, I remember attending a private school in high school. And this, I would say, on the lower end financially wise, and everyone there was very successful. Their parents were very successful, and I had a very good friend who her father was the producer of Star Trek, and I used to go there for 2 years straight because I hated going home and just sitting by myself. And she was very wealthy, and I used to ask her, "You have it all, aren't you so happy?" She's like, "No, I'm not happy whatsoever. There's something missing even." And I was like, what? I thought that would be the way to fix things. Money would be the way, or not even money, but just a family life where there's not many problems. And I kind of could see that there was definitely something wrong, and I actually became very scared. I said, what is it? What is out there that would actually satisfy my inner being? And I would even, today, when I came across the verse in Ecclesiastes concerning that only God can fill us and satisfy us, that would definitely be the portion of my life where that would fit in, that I was looking for. So then I remember going the summer before going to college, Cal State Long Beach. I was very nervous, and there's two things that I want to bring out. I looked up to my cousin because he was so cool. He did everything cool. He got everything first, and he knew how to do everything. And I remember he told me one day, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." And I said, what do you mean about the Lord Jesus? And he said, "Did you know that Christ came to abolish religion?" And I said, what? He came to abolish religion? And that became like, I scratched my head. I didn't even think much of it. I remember that. He moved to Australia, and I was like, maybe he needs to come back home. And then, and then I started thinking, and I told my mom, "Mom, when I go to college, I'm not going to call myself a Christian unless I open up this Bible." So she said, "Yeah, you go ahead. I'd be very proud if you can go and actually go read, and do that at such an age." So I was very nervous. I moved into my apartment with some boys I didn't even know. And the first week, actually, of the apartment moving in, they said, "You can't move in. You have to stay in the Queen Mary for a week." And they would take care of it while they were fumigating the apartments. And I was very nervous. And during this time, the first week, this is the time of orientation, the sore time. And I decided to go at Cal State Long Beach. And I remember meeting my professor. It was more of a professor to prepare you for school, how to take units, how to take classes. And he was a Christian. And he was very proud to say he was a Christian. And that was something that really was important to me, because I could see out of any person I've met that he knew which route he was going. He had some substance. He had some, even foundation in life. And I was seeking that, because I didn't want to be somebody who just loosely went through school. I wanted to, have a meaning to my life. So I remember then I was like, okay, I heard that there's Christian clubs on campus and it's free. I thought Bible study costs money. I don't know why. And then I went to my first tent. And the reason I went to this tent, because every other tent had some funny name. I was like, okay, they're Christian, but it said Christians on Campus. And I said, I think I'm a Christian and I'm on campus. So I went up to it. So I went up, and I remember seeing a whole bunch of sisters. These sisters have graduated now, but they were very happy. And I was like, wow, these sisters are really happy. And I hope that this Bible study is not only sisters. I hope there's brothers there too. I put my email address down. I went back the next day to class, and I told my professor, because he asked, "Has any guys interested in any clubs?" And I said, "I signed up for a club with Christians on Campus." And the whole class looked at me like, "Are you crazy? Why would you sign up for a Bible study? Join a frat or something." But he looked at me and he was very happy, I could tell. And so then I remember the following week, I said, okay, I kind of got in my head. I kind of forgot about things. And I decided, okay, if I really want to engage into, you know, this Bible study, I might as well go. So I went, and I remember the first person I met was Charles. I don't know if you remember this. I met Charles, and I walked in with my NIV, and I saw a brother, and he was honestly was shining. I saw him, and he knew what he was doing. He had a purpose when he was there. He had, and with his words, he had no regret behind each of them. And I looked up to that than any professors I saw, the science professors, everybody. I didn't care. I knew that somebody had something, and I wanted it. That semester was a very blessed semester because we just got into the fundamentals of the Christian life, learning about the tripartite man, about baptism, the meaning of everything. And every week, I went every week. I was so diligent to go. And that, I'm not like that. That's not me. Because there was such a hunger. And every week I would go back home. And my mom would get home at 10:30 p.m. And well, the first time I told her I met, you know, the Christian on campus, and I really started to see something. I told my mom, "Mom, I see it. I see something." And I'm so surprised my mom didn't look at me and laugh or downgrade me. She said, "I prayed for you." She told me, I said, "You prayed for me? I was a good kid." And then she said, "I prayed that you would find these people." So I continued to go, and every weekend I had to come back home because at 10:30 p.m. my mom would get off work, and we would go through that Bible study till 3 a.m. in fellowship. And it was amazing. I was on fire. My grades started going up. Everything started going up. Everything changed. I was more diligent in all my studies. And I'm not saying this is how you become, but I think the Lord was trying to show me He's infusing me with something. And this is the way that, you know, your life is, you know, coming about. The greatest part, I got a hunger to speak the word of the high gospel. I knew that there was a difference. The high gospel was, I learned the low gospel of, you know, I was saved. But then then the brother shared with me that Christ wants to live in you. Christ wants His economy to be fulfilled. And one day, even Charles himself, we were sitting outside, and he talked to me about, you know, everybody on this campus, they're trying to build their own temples. Everybody cares about their own little temple. They could be, you know, they're building this for their fraternity. They're building this for their education. They want their PhD. And he said, you know, God is looking for man who would be willing to build His church with Him. Amen. So I said, whoa, I want to be a part of that. Amen. So I went home, and then I started to carry on a burden for my family. My family, I started praying one night, and I said, I love my family, Lord. He said, do you love your family? And I said, yeah, I love my family. I'm so close with my family, huge family. And then he told me, if you really love your family, you want to invest your family in Christ. Because that's the only thing that really lives through. That's what makes it to the New Jerusalem. Anything put in Christ, your education, anything, that is the way to get it through. So I began to speak to my family. Slowly, my uncle, who was an atheist, he began to hold a Bible and walk around everywhere with a Bible. My aunt and my uncle, they became so hungry for the Word. My other uncle, he got saved. And my other aunts, I just have a huge family. And we've been getting together in Bible studies every 2 weeks. And there's been so much that's happened. And I'm just so amazed how this has developed over time. Actually, right now, in 1 hour, they'll be having their next Bible study out in Los Angeles. So, amen. I don't know. I'm just really happy. I just wanted to share about my experience of the high gospel, how it held me. We have an organic chemist here, but it was like the triple bond. It wasn't just a single bond that could just be broken. It really held me. If I heard the high gospel again, I wouldn't be here today. It really held me. It gave me a vision. I would have been. I'm pursuing a biochemistry, hopefully one day MD if the Lord wills. And I think that would have been totally a waste because I would have invested everything in this world and would have just vanished. But yes, I began to realize that God wanted to express man in His image, His dominion, and we fall under His divine authority. Amen. Thank you guys for listening to me. I hope I answered this.
Amen. Can you guys hear me? Praise the Lord! Wow. I'm so glad to be here. My name is Justin Starks, and I graduated from UC Berkeley, and now I'm going to the training down in Anaheim. And I'd like to share with you guys a little bit about the high gospel. and how the high gospel has revolutionized my life to see that God has an eternal purpose for every single one of us, and that it all began when He put His glorious life into us. So, I grew up in a Christian household. I grew up with parents who absolutely loved the Lord. But all I knew about the Lord was that I was saved. And so I appreciated that, actually, because I knew that that was how I lived my life. That was my vision. I was like, okay, I've been saved by God. What should I do? Should be a good person. The Lord was a good person. The Lord treated everybody so nice, telling people about living water and things like that. It sounds like a really great guy, healing people who are sick. So I was like, okay, I can't really heal anybody, but I could be nice. So this was the kind of thought, the kind of gospel that I had. This was my reality. And so based upon that, I lived that way. But I would say, I was always wondering, is this it? Did the Lord go to the cross and die for me just so that I could be a good person? That I could try my best every day not to sin, not to mess up, and this would make Him happy? And that was just a prevailing thought through all of middle school and high school. But it was very interesting because when it came around to college time, I had gotten accepted into UC Berkeley. But one of the stipulations of my admittance was that I would come into the spring term because there had been so many admittance that year. And so what I decided to do was take a little bit of time and go to Mount SAC for a semester. So in that semester, it was very interesting because I really began to feel a thirst and a hunger to just get into the Word. So I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to read the New Testament. Because, like, I've seen my parents read the Bible. Everyone says, oh, it's a good idea, but you never really see anybody doing it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to actually try to do this. I should just give myself to read it. So I'm reading it, I'm really enjoying it. But not really seeing that much, but I'm reading it, so that counts for something. But interestingly enough, at the same time, my friend Ryan, he had also got accepted into Berkeley, and I had known him since middle school and high school, and actually we had been kind of spiritual companions. So we would pray together, you know, pray for our friends, as best as we knew how. We figured it would be good, okay, we should pray for our friends, because surely someone prayed for us. That's how we got saved. So like, okay, we'll pray for our friends. So then he goes to Berkeley, and on welcome week, he met the saints. He met the saints, and I'll never forget because he called me, and he was like, Jay, I met these people who know the Word. And I was like, oh, that's cool, because, you know, at this time, I've been reading the New Testament, so I'm thinking like, well, I read the Word too, you know. I know exactly what the Bible says. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. So, but I was like, okay, yeah, sure, you know, when I get there, you know, I'll meet with them. I'll probably show them a thing or two. Oh, Lord Jesus. The Lord really knows how to humble a person, doesn't He? So I got to Berkeley. I was very excited. I was like, yes, I'm free from my parents because I was in Walnut and it was like a commuter so I could just go back and forth. But Berkeley, I was finally 6 hours away. So I was like, okay. And I remember that day right after my parents had driven off and I had put my stuff away and I just had a feeling to just walk on the campus. And when I walked on the campus, I just had this simple prayer in my heart. I was like, something along the line, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I said something like, Lord, show me Yourself. I want You to be my God. I want You to be real to me. And it was very quick. I just remember that and I walked away and I was just like, amazed, because very soon when I started to meet the saints, it was just like a veil was lifted away. No one had ever told me that I had a human spirit. No one told me that I could enjoy the Lord. No one told me that this living person could be in me and cause me to live Him. Up to this point, all I knew was that I should be a good person, and surely that kept me. But when somebody unveiled to me this aspect of the higher gospel, then that was when I was just blown away. But even more than this, I began to see that it wasn't just about me. Because even when I was there, I was thinking, I'm going to learn the Bible for myself. I need to know it. I need to know it for me, me, me. But I realized after meeting these people, these saints who love the Lord. They weren't just reading the Bible for themselves. They were here to dispense life into me. They had given themselves to get into the Word because they saw something of what God wanted to do. God wants a building. God wants a group of people who express Him. But how does He get that? He gets that by becoming their very enjoyment, by becoming their all in all. And so I was blown away, more importantly, because I had read the book of Ephesians, but I didn't see the body. But that's the whole point of the book. Anyone who reads Ephesians will see the body. But I didn't see it until a brother opened it up to me. And I looked and I said, wow, God wants a body. God wants a building. And I say, ever since that time, it just seems like veil and veil has been taken away. It's just been seeing more and more, wow, there's a meaning to my human life. It isn't me just to be a good person. The triune God wants to express Himself through me. But not just me, but in a group of people. That there could really be oneness on the earth. And not because we agree to come together and think the same thing, but that we enjoy the same Christ. And I just have to say, wow, thank you, Lord, that I could see a little bit something of the high gospel. Amen. Because of this, I enjoy the Lord in a much greater way. And not only this, but I feel like I'm going on with Him day by day. Amen. But not alone, but with my brothers. Amen. And with my sisters. Amen. Until that great day when He comes back. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
My name's Chris Hall. I was born and raised in Irving, Texas. And currently I'm in my second term at the full-time training in Anaheim. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I grew up in a Christian home. My dad, he pastors a free group there in Irving, Texas. He's been serving the Lord for over 30 plus years now. And so my upbringing was in a lot of Christian meetings and under a godly man who dearly loves the Lord Jesus. But this is very important. I myself was not genuinely saved, regenerated until my freshman year in college. I would have told you that I was a Christian. And I was a good kid growing up, which probably kept me from the Lord, to be honest. But growing up, I was a good person in a lot of Christian meetings. In Texas, in my family, football was very just liked. And that was the way that I had just considered that's how I'm going to go to college. I'm going to be a good football player. I'm going to get a scholarship. That was just kind of what I had purposed. And as I got into high school, I really got through with the whole good kid thing. And I just wanted to live out the big man on campus, football player. I really just wanted to do that and be that. I just thought that was it. That's the thing. That's what's going to satisfy man, right? Popularity. That's it. That's what it's all about. So I gave myself to that. And the further I got in, the deeper I got, the more successful I got, the emptier I got.
Wow.
I realized more and more, the deeper I got in, I am empty on the inside. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. When I was in my room by myself, I realized I am not satisfied. Fast forward, my senior year in high school, a number of things happened sovereignly of the Lord to arrange for me to be open to receive Him. One big thing, huge impact. My older brother, who played college football at the time, came home a different person one weekend, and it's because he received Jesus.
Amen.
He got dynamically saved, and he was a different person. I couldn't believe it. That had huge impact on me. He was someone I looked up to, you know. A number of things like this happened, consummating. And when I graduated, I signed a scholarship to go play football at the University of Texas. I went down there, and the last thing the Lord touched was this pride that I had in me being a great football player. That's how I defined myself. Well, very quickly, I got humbled in Austin because I wasn't the best football player around anymore. And so my pride got deflated. And I'm 3.5 hours away from home, no parents, no older brother, no friends, no relationships, and now I'm not even a good football player anymore. And there was over and over in me, Chris, if you don't really give your life to the Lord, you're not going to make it through this summer. That was over and over in me. And I received the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Saints, you know man has a human spirit. Amen. You know God is made to come and live in your human spirit.
Amen.
That's what happened to me in the summer of 2005. And the next thing that I prayed for Christian friends. Because I knew that I couldn't live the Christian life. I knew all my friends are in all these worldly things. And that's what I'll go back to if I spend time with them. So I prayed for Christian friends. And the Lord preserved me. He gave me some dear older brothers on the football team who cared for me, brought me to Christian meetings and all these things. And I kind of my Christian life defined at that point was, do the best you can not to sin, be a good guy, have good, clean fun, and go to church on Sunday. That was about the climax there. That is very basic. That's very class 100, right? Not so much high gospel. But the Lord started doing things to prepare me, to bring me on, because there's more.
Amen.
God has more in His heart.
Amen.
Later on that year, we won the national championship in 2005. And I want to tell you this because it prepared me. The last touchdown that we scored when we beat USC, Vince Young scored, and the crowd went insane. I'd never seen any kind of celebration like that. And as I was looking and I was kind of mesmerized, this thought came to me, and I really believe this was the Lord speaking. If we celebrate like this over this game, what's it going to be like when the Lord Jesus returns?
Amen.
You know? Saints, to those who love His appearing, there will be a celebration that has never been seen before in the universe.
Amen.
And what that confirmed in me, that had been my experience, in high school, now that I've been saved, what it confirmed in me is Christ is the meaning of my human life.
Amen.
The world has nothing to offer.
Amen.
I'm at the pinnacle. We just won. I'm on a national championship team. Christ is the meaning of my human life.
Amen.
Let me tell you what happened right around that time. I met some people on campus that changed my life.
Amen.
I met some people on campus that were unlike anyone I'd ever met. They're this group called Christians on Campus in Austin, Texas. And I started sitting down to eat lunch with them. I met them through one of my friends who ended up going to the training. And I tell you, I was so attracted to the fellowship. We would just be eating, you know, and somebody would ask a question about the Bible, and the brothers, they'd just take us from Genesis to Revelation, you know. They'd take us everywhere. And I wasn't reading the Bible at the time, you know. So it was so impressive and attractive to me. Eventually, I would even carry my Bible in my backpack, go into the cafeteria, and I'd say, Lord, I hope the brothers are there. And saints, I just, you know what I learned? That the Christian life is a feast. God is enjoyable.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus says, He who eats me shall live because of me.
Amen.
And saints, the brothers, they started helping me to enjoy God.
Amen.
They helped me to pray the Word.
Amen.
Did you know there's a secret how to enjoy the Lord Jesus? If you pray the Word, you'll touch your spirit.
Amen.
Anyway, so more and more, saints, I just started eating. The brothers helped me. And I started getting the home meetings, Bible studies, going to conferences, preaching the gospel. A brother even started calling me on the phone in the mornings and we would pray together. And you know, saints, I just have to say Christ became so enjoyable.
Amen.
My life went from vanity of vanities to song of songs.
Amen.
Satisfaction of satisfactions.
Oh, yeah.
The Lord Jesus became everything.
Amen.
And I have to say, I started getting crazy like the brothers that I was hanging out with. I even moved in with them. You know, some of you may be here for the first time. When the brothers, they call on the Lord. Lord Jesus! You know, and I started calling on the Lord. Lord Jesus! Brothers, I got free. The Lord became so enjoyable to me.
Amen.
Let me tell you this. The closer I came to Him, there started being a speaking. And I want to say in a general way, not at a one time, but in a general way, the closer to this person that I got, more satisfied I got, more enjoying him I got, there started to be this speaking. What about me? You know, Chris, you're so satisfied. And I'm so thankful for that. But what about me? What about what's in my heart? Saints, you know, there's something in God's heart. Job 10:13 says, I know there's something hidden in him. I don't know why all these things happen, but it's in his heart. Saints, there's something in his heart. In Matthew 16, Peter saw by the Father's revelation, the Lord asked him, who do men say that I am? They said, John the Baptist, the prophets, all these things. He said, who do you say that I am? And the Father gave him the revelation. You're the Christ. Amen. You're the Son of the living God. Amen. That was my experience. Christ, Amen. You're awesome. I love you. Amen. And you know what he said? You know what the Lord Jesus said? I also say to you, I will build my church. Amen. Peter, you say Christ. The Lord says, the church! Amen. There's something on God's heart. Mary, 10 chapters later in Matthew 26, she saw that the Lord was going to die. She was the only one who saw it. Even though the Lord spoke it many times, the disciples didn't see it. But she saw it, and she seized the opportunity to break what was most valuable to her and, quote, waste it on the Lord. You know, the disciples saw what she did. She broke the alabaster flask. She poured it on the Lord. The disciples saw it and they said, why this waste? They were indignant. And he said, don't you bother her. The poor, they said, this could have been sold and given to the poor. He said, the poor you have with you always. You do not always have me. Saints, there is a me in the universe. And there's something on his heart. Fast forward, you know, I think about these brothers that I was spending time with. You know, they're crazy, right? I got to tell you, this brother I was meeting with, he was a scientist from communist China. He's nothing like me. He was nothing like me. Yet this brother would pick me up. He would take me to Christian meetings. He'd pray with me in the morning. He'd bring me to his home. He'd feed me. He'd spend time with my friends. All these things. And he's nothing like me. Why would he do that? Why? Why would he do that? You know, and some of you may think the same thing. Who are these people that I spend time with? I'll tell you why he was the way he was, why Mary was the way she was. It's because they saw something. They saw something. Something on God's heart. And they seized the opportunity. Yes, I'll break everything on this wonderful person. Amen. Saints, do you know what his body is? His body is the church. His body is the church. And so that's why. And so, you know, towards the end of my college, this began to stir in me. What about me? What about me? And you know, saints, I haven't arrived. I don't see it. I'm not there. But there's a prayer in me. Lord Jesus, I want to be one who sees the heavenly vision. Amen. And who breaks the alabaster flask on you. Because you are the most worthy one in the universe. Amen. And there's something on your heart that I want to be a part of. Amen. Everything else is vanity of vanities. Amen. You are the meaning of my human life. And I want to be a part of building what's on your heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
So, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm here. Amen. My senior year, we went to the national championship again. We lost. Praise the Lord. God is sovereign and He knows exactly what we need. Now I'm here with you saints. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you for the high gospel. Amen. Lord, open our eyes tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh Lord, a lot of people. Lord Jesus. Anyway, my name is Brandon Hendricks. I'm from Houston, Texas. I'm in my third semester at the same school as Chris and Justin.
And praise the Lord for the high gospel. Amen. The high gospel.
Amen.
This is not a low gospel.
Right.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Sorry. Anyway, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord we can be here. Anyway, just my testimony just kind of begins back in Texas. Actually, I was raised in a single-parent household. My mother, I didn't actually meet my father until I was about 9. So a lot of my life was kind of a little bit like Anthony. It was shaped around a lot of thinking. You know, what is this for? You know, why is it just me and my mother? You know, and so for me growing up, I had a lot of questions about what is the meaning of life? What is this all for? What are these experiences for? And so just looking back, I really feel the Lord has something on his heart.
Amen.
Everything that we go through is for a purpose. It's designed specifically for the Lord's building material.
Amen.
Don't think what you're going through is just by chance or coincidence. Just like if you're going to build a house, you're not just going to chop down a tree and just throw it up and build something, right? That wood has to go through a process, right? The tree has to be skinned. The wood has to be treated, right? And so the same way, the things that we go through, we might not, like, why is this going on? Why is this happening? But at the same time, this happens for a reason, for a purpose for God to build his house.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So, I grew up very curious, very kind of, I want to know what is life about, a lot of thinking. And so for me, it led me to architecture. By the time I was in sixth grade, I knew what I wanted to do with my life. I knew I wanted to become an architect. And so for me, that set the course of my life. And so I gave myself to that. Just gave myself, sold my soul, I felt like, to architecture, to becoming something world-changing, to change the world with architecture. And so in high school, I took the classes you need to take. I took the internships you need to do. And at the same time, I felt this is what the Lord wanted me to do. I felt like this is what God's purpose was for me, to become an architect. I can glorify God through my studies, right? But at the same time, I just felt the closer, just like Chris, the closer I got to this, the more empty I became. And I realized later on that God is an architect. God has something on his heart.
Amen.
That he wants to build.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So when I got to college, before I get to college, my sophomore year in high school, something dynamic happened to me. And that actually, my father passed. And so that really shaped another course of my life. And actually, when my father passed, I became more than upset with the Lord. I felt, what are you doing? You know, my dad just passed. I'm with my mother. You know, what is this for? You know, what is the meaning of this? You know, and so from that, I just became furious with the Lord. Why would you do this? You know, and from that, it just sparked conversations with the Lord. And even though I was angry with God, God just kissed me. You know, he just allowed me to let everything that was inside of me out. And every time I would go to the Lord and just almost curse the Lord, he would just kiss me. And praise the Lord for his kisses. Lord Jesus. And so by the time I got to college, I really felt the anger that I had with my losing of my father was just really reconciled. And so I really wanted to give my life to the Lord, but I didn't know how. Actually, even though I grew up in a Christian family, for me, going to church was just, I went to a place that everyone looked like me, and we had a good time. We, you know, sang, and the preacher was funny. Some people cried. Some people were filled with the Holy Ghost, and, you know, that was what we did. You know, that's all I knew. You know, that was my upbringing, in a sense. And so, when I got to college, I really wanted to find those who really love the Lord. And so I could only go with what I saw. And so my first day on campus, I'm in a group that was actually more designed towards student athletes. I did track just for a little bit in college. And this guy walked up to me, and he didn't look nothing like me. But he just basically asked if I was interested in some fellowship. And luckily, I was very open to him, and we met. And by the end of that year, I became the vice president of that group. And by the end of that same year, we went from a group of about 5 or so to almost 200 on 2 campuses. And so for me, you know, man, I'm doing something, you know. The Lord, I see something and I'm, you know, there's a growth, right? The Lord is doing something on this campus. But what we saw was so low. You know, we didn't really see nothing past salvation. And the tools that we used were just gimmicks. You know, we had pool parties. We had, you know, we had whatever the world had, but just added Christ on it, you know. And for me, it was the best of both worlds, you know. I can have fun, but also I knew I loved the Lord. And so for me, living this kind of life really allowed me to really question, what is this for? There's all these people, you know, we go to church on Sunday, or we do whatever we want to do on Saturday, but we go to church on Sunday. I felt like I was living two lives, and I felt within, I was just fake. You know, I hated being fake. I still, I don't know, there's something about being fake. I just felt that, what is this, man? You know, I'm just fake. You know, I'm a hypocrite, you know? And so it really forced me to be desperate before the Lord, to really see, Lord, what is on your heart? What is the meaning of all this? Why am I a Christian? You know, why do I go to church? Why do I read my Bible? You know, what is this for? And so with that, the Lord was just speaking, come to me. You know, ask me. You know, a lot of times I was just living my own life. My life was like, I treated the Lord like a spare tire. When everything was good, I was good. But as soon as I hit a flat, out comes the spare tire. You know, that was my experience with the Lord. You know, very, just, when I needed him, I needed him, you know. Anyway, that desperation, man. Praise the Lord that we can be desperate. Amen. I don't know if you have a seeking heart. Why do you think you guys are here? You know, you think this is just by chance? You just met that person on campus? Right. Someone just handed you that little flyer? No. I want you guys to see something.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. So by the time I was a junior in college, actually a brother here in the audience was my classmate. And I invited a lot of my classmates to this Bible study, and he was actually a part of the Christian Students Club. And he basically said, hey man, if I'll come to your group, I'll come to your Bible study, if you come to mine. And so he came to mine. I don't know if he liked it. I actually think he fell asleep that time. I don't know why the music was so loud, but he actually fell asleep. And so then I went to his. I want to be right and return the favor. And so I tell you, it was different. It was very different. It was loud, a lot of, oh, Lord Jesus, a lot of prayer reading. I didn't know what that was at the time. Maybe you don't now, you know, if this is your first time here. But what I saw was just Christ.
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Nothing else but Christ.
Amen.
And even though I did not understand a lot of things, a lot of the lingo, a lot of terminology, I just saw Christ. And that attracted me. And so fast forward, eventually I gave myself to what I saw. You know, I could, the Lord, too much is given, much is required, right? And so the Lord showed something to me, and I felt I had no choice but to give my life to this. Regardless how I felt, regardless of not many people looked like me there, regardless whatever, I just have to give my life to this.
Amen.
Because this is the truth. This is in the Bible,
amen,
right? I'm just really burdened, man, because for me, even though I had this low gospel, I gave myself to that. And right now, I'm just like, Lord, I see a little bit tonight, you know, but what will I give myself to? Will I give myself to just being content with me knowing this? I was, you know, when I actually eventually joined that group, I was furious with this group because they had the high gospel. But I didn't know the high gospel. A classmate of mine just had to, you know, invite me to this Bible study. You know, I just, even with yourself, how many students have you told about this high gospel? I confess first to myself, I haven't spoke to many people. But when I go out on the campus, my burden, regardless of what it is, I want people to see what the football is. Not just being a player on the field, but what is the football? You know, what is our spirit? What is God's heart? You know, that was, I didn't know how to spirit just like Chris, just like Justin. We can't get that anywhere else, you know? And for me, I'm just burdened that this would not just remain something in our hands, you know, but this would be something that we could give ourselves to.
Amen.
This is something that the Lord could use. And advancing us. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. My name's Michael Stewart. I'm actually from, not from here originally, I'm from Dublin, Ireland. I grew up in Ireland, went to high school there, went to college there, got saved there. Amen. So how did I end up here? Well, I grew up in, like many of the brothers have shared, I grew up in a religious home, a Christian home. I had, I would definitely say a religion, but no relationship. I was a good kid, but after I went to college, I was not a good kid. But I went through a lot of experiences during that time that caused me to pray very, very much. In fact, even there was a period in my early college life when I would fast and pray 2 days a week. So no food, just water, 2 days a week, and a lot of prayer. So religious, but I still did not know the Lord Jesus. But at some point, and you know, I'm just amazed sometimes how the Lord just brings people into our lives. I was invited to a Christian meeting. And because of my upbringing and my faith, my attitude was, well, I'm in the one true church. What do I need to go to a Christian meeting for? But out of politeness, I went one morning, skipped school, skipped class, went to a meeting. It was in a basement, there were no natural light, just fluorescent lights. And I still to this day do not remember what was shared at that meeting. But what I saw at that meeting were shining people. Shining people. I could remember kind of, you know, I'm in a row. And I'm, you know, people are praising and worshiping, and I'm just looking around. Where am I? What is this place? And who are these people? So there was like one girl, and she's just, you know, but her face is shining. And I remember leaving, I can remember walking out almost like if I'm facing the pastors up here, and I'm walking out, I'm literally inwardly shaking my head in all my years of going to church, all kinds of retreats, went to a religious school. I have never seen anything like this. I have to find out what I saw in this room. Well, eventually I found out after about a year of going, so, you know, going to these meetings, I found out what that was or who that was. That was Jesus Christ shining out from people as they are just praising Him and loving Him. And one Sunday morning, after a meeting, the pastor invited, you know, if you'd like to come forward for prayer. And, you know, that was an altar call. I didn't know it was an altar call. I thought, yeah, I need to be prayed for. I'd like someone to pray for me. So I went forward. And the brother asked me, would you like to receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? And I thought that is the most reasonable thing that I can do. I'd been under the hearing of faith for quite a long time. I'd been in religion, but I realized I don't have a relationship with this one. So I prayed this prayer, prayed the prayer. And then this brother kind of led me around the room after the time was over, telling people, Michael's given his life to the Lord. And I remember going, no, that's not what I've done. I was really uncomfortable. I've given my life. I just prayed a prayer. Well, a week later, the pastor said before the congregation, Michael last week gave his heart to the Lord. And I was like, oh, that's much better. Much better. But actually, what the first brother said was a prophecy, was the truth. I didn't realize it at the time. I just thought, I've prayed a prayer, I've received the Savior. Well, that was the beginning of my Christian life. I saw shining people. I had to know, what is that? I found out it's the Lord, I received the Lord. I thought I'd given my heart. Years later I realized, no, you gave your life. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's kind of my background. That was all in Ireland. I went to medical school. There was a sister, so I'm going to just borrow someone else's testimony for a few minutes. There was a dear sister in my class who just met with a small group of believers in Dublin City. They didn't call themselves any name. They just met in the name of Christ. You know, they said, we're the church in Dublin. We don't mean we're the only church. We just meet as the church in Dublin. Would you like to come to a home meeting? So I began to meet with them on like on a Friday night. We'd have good food. We'd read the Bible. We'd fellowship. And at the same time, I was going to this denominational church where I had been saved. The thing I just like to point about this sister, at the age of 18, as a high schooler, she moved to Ireland from Malaysia. She had grown up in what we would term the church life, this kind of meeting as a church in a city. She kind of started meeting with her sister, just the two of them. Little by little, they gathered a little gathering around them. She was very faithful to preach the gospel in her first year medical school class. She preached the gospel for a year. No one got saved. And at the end of the year, she failed her exams. And she had to repeat the entire year. That's how it is. You don't just take makeup classes, you repeat the year. But that meant that she came into my class. And in my class, she gained 5, including me. Praise the Lord. So, you know, she came a long way. She paid a huge price, and she was faithful to preach, to speak. She went through much heartbreak, disappointment. Imagine you're 6,000 miles from home. You're told you have to repeat a whole year. But I'm so thankful. The Lord worked her environment. She just kept going. Preach the gospel. Be faithful. So she was the one who brought me in contact, like so many of these brothers, with another kind of Christian, shall we say. So little by little, as I kept meeting with them, I was helped to realize, God has a need. It's not just about you. So at a little retreat, nothing like this, not with 400, maybe with 20 or 30 students, we were at a retreat, a little town south of Dublin, and one weekend, a brother called a hymn. It's hymn 1248. So I'm going to read two stanzas, and I think this is what I would say is this is what caught me. And I'll just read the first two stanzas. Recall how David swore, I'll not come into my house, nor go up to my bed, give slumber to mine eyelids, until I find a place for thee. A place, O Lord, for thee. Amen. Our mighty God desires a home where all his own may come. How blinded we have been, shut in with what concerns us, while God's house lieth waste. Lord, break through, overturn us. We'll go up to the mountain, bring wood and build the house. We'll never say another day. It's time we'll come and build. And that was the first time in my life I heard or I realized the God of this universe has a heart's desire and a need. And I just determined, Lord, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, but if I can have a part in this, if this is what you want, if this is what you need, then I'll sign up. I have no idea, you know, I had no idea what that would mean. I just was, Lord, that's what you want, that's what you need. That's what my human life is for. Amen. And that was about 1993. So in 1995, a dear brother from this Bible school in Anaheim, the full-time training, came to London. I was at a conference, and he said, you can all give the Lord 6 months. It's a two-year program, but it's in, you know, six-month blocks approximately, 4 6-month blocks. And I just said inwardly, Lord, I'm willing. I'll go for 6 months. But how about problem A, obstacle B, excuse C? What about all these things? I'm willing to go, but I've got so many excuses, reasons why I can't go. Well, in 2 months flat, the Lord just went boom, 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 leveled, cleared. And when the third excuse, reason, problem was taken out of the way, right away the speaking came, Now you can go to the training. So I flew 6,000 miles to Southern California. Quite a change, I can assure you, from where I lived. In the middle of my first term in the training, I flew home to Dublin. There was a job that I really wanted. I'd already graduated medical school. I'd worked for 5 years. I'd studied for 11 years, medicine for 11 years, between undergraduate, postgraduate exams. But there was this job I wanted, 3 years, half-time teaching, half-time medical practice. But as I was going home for that 1 week break, I said, Lord, I feel I need to be in this place longer, but I also want this job. But don't make me choose. If you want me to stay, then don't give me the job. Long story short, I didn't get the job, even though I knew 4 out of the 5 interviewers on first name terms. I had spent 3 years in that department. I met the professor of the department, the head, the night before to discuss the interview. I was pretty certain I had the job. Well, the next day after the interview at the end of the evening, I called the secretary who I knew, and she said, sorry, Michael, you didn't get the job. And right away the Lord said, but now you can go back to the training. So I came back for the end of my first term. I did a second term. I did a third term. I did a fourth term. And then I decided I will do this if the Lord allows me for the rest of my life. So I've now been serving 13 years. I still practice a little bit. I practice in the summertime when school's, you know, summer school. I usually go back to Ireland. I don't have a license here. I practice in Ireland. I do between 3 and 4 weeks work every summer just to kind of keep that license in case I need to make tents sometime in the future. But I just would like to say my life is for Christ and the church. Amen. There's nothing else. I've worked in refugee camps in Africa. I've been in a refugee camp with 180,000 people living in tents. I could have given my life to that. I was asked, would you go to Afghanistan? Would you go to Burma? Would you go here? Would you go there? I could have taken that path. But I realized there's something higher, even than that, higher than medicine, that is Christ and the church.
Amen.
My family, my wife, my children, my finances, my time, my health, my everything is for this. Not that I'm anything. He is everything. I can only do it because He lives in me. And by His grace, by His mercy, I'm still here. I'm still serving. And as Anthony helped me remind me, I can just say one thing. If I would look back over these years, and there's been a lot of things, you know, it hasn't always been smooth. It hasn't always been easy. But I'll say one thing. As I look back, I have only one phrase. Oh, what a life. Oh, what a life. I would not change it for anything. This is the life. This is the life. Christ and the church Amen. Is the meaning of my human life. It is the meaning of your human life. As all the dear ones have testified, and I'm sure many could come forward and say the same thing. It's just 5 of us. I didn't choose to do this, but I'm doing it. A number of us could come forward, one after another, after another, and after another. Oh, what a life. This is the highest life. This is the highest gospel. He and the church is worth everything. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.